I trade freight services in association with Who1.co.uk present the 20 megabyte Dr. Who podcast.
Hello and welcome to the 20 megabyte Dr. Who podcast episode 260. I'm Adam and I can't think of anything on the line of quotes, so here's Debbie Melrose.
I can see a huge leg coming. Run!
That's what she said. Here's Kirby Bartlett Sloan.
We're all here. Who is this?
And here's Mary Lang.
If there is one chance in a million that the experiment is successful, then I must go through with it.
Oh, sorry, I was waiting for a bit more. I was the whole script, I thought I was going to spew forth from your mouth. But anyway, that's great. Thank you very much. Right.
That master.
Yes, yes.
That was a repeat of the quote I used the last time we did this one.
Was it? That's very unimaginative.
I'm using the same notes.
That's very unimaginative.
Notes. I had to make more.
Stop rustling paper in front of the microphone. Right.
Hey, I've got coconut mushrooms from my mum.
Anyway, moving on.
And I have to congratulate us on our cleverness. Hey. I must say, this is a fairly boring episode, but imagine we made it even worse. We had the cleverness of going into the Levine reconstructions to make it even more boring.
Mary, you're going the right way for a smacked bottom. And don't say, oh, that's what I was hoping for. Anyway.
I won't win, you know.
I was trying to bring us around to Con-GT. I didn't say Con-Cerberus.
Yes, it's Con-GT.
Yes. You alluded to the fact there might be a few more little stories that you didn't tell us about last week that you'd like to impart. All right, maybe not.
Maybe not.
I was thinking that we'd have other people coming along
Has anybody else sent feedback?
Nope. I've got some feedback.
They sent them to Adam.
I didn't go. I don't know anything about it. You lot were there.
Feedback. You know, maybe you see that the feedback came in that we don't know about.
Nope. Oh. Apart from I have got one bit of feedback. Nothing out of the ordinary.
Really?
Really.
And I went on the Con-GT page and begged people to
and they all ignored you. Yes, that's right.
Which is what we do most
of the time, so you can understand why that happens.
I'll go on and threaten them in an English accent. That'll get it going.
Master. I had more likes on having wandered into a store and finding a collection of TARDISes than I had on most of the posts I made last weekend, which was very odd.
Yes. Well, a lot of people who aren't Doctor Who fans would say that Doctor Who fans are generally a little bit odd. Anyway, so you haven't got anything else, any other little stories or any sort of summarizations?
Mary, can you think of anything?
Well, if I could, I would have spoken up.
Yeah. Oh.
Can I make it easier for you?
We had started talking about things when Ellis came in and basically
and
took over
it
the
for
podcast.
Yeah. I loved that. She was brilliant. She was great.
Yeah, she's so talkative. It's fun. You just ask her a few things and she just goes on and on.
I didn't happen to get her email address because I wanted to try and get her back on the show because Debbie chickened out last week of actually speaking to her and I thought she might
have. Did not chicken out. I spent a whole week dealing with internet issues.
Oh, you've been Kirby basically for a
while. I've had to come up here to Southend on sea to see my parents.
Is that because that's the only way you can get any internet?
in the interview with her that Kirby and I tried to partake in, she gave all that information, her Twitter address, her email, everything. So
she did? I missed that.
We didn't get the email bit.
Sorry, not Southend. I'm in Neon Sea, apparently.
Oh, dear.
Apparently.
I thought you were a highly educated woman. I didn't think that geography wasn't one of the subjects you were educated
in. I've been informed that I'm not in Southend. I'm in Neon Sea.
Okay, well, you're not going to tell us anything about Con-GT.
Do you have that email address, Mary?
Well, No, that's what I was going to ask. Was there any recording made of that interview?
Well, there was of the interview that I did or another interview?
No. Kirby and I interviewed,
not really. we took we took part in a discussion that kind of went.
Well, no, but I suppose I could send. Well, she's not following me on Twitter, but she has retweeted the tweet I said about her and Daphne Ashbrook being the best guests we've ever had. And then Daphne Ashbrook retweeted that tweet.
Oh.
Well, I can get her email address from Eddie.
Okay, well, that would be good. But only for Debbie's benefit. Well, basically, I'd get Ellis back on the show on Skype, and then we can all go in the other room where, so as Debbie and Ellis can just get acquainted.
Try and let each other get a word in edgeways. Yeah.
I don't think you'll get a word in edgeways. You'll just speak to her about something, and then she'll drift on and talk in a very eloquent way about the subject you wanted to talk about, and which is ideal for an audio presentation.
That is true. Yes. Well, and maybe because she hasn't done very many conventions, and or maybe because she's a young teenager, that she was so forthcoming with everything. You know, was a surprise. You know, to give out publicly, you know, her email and everything.
I suppose she probably told by her agent it might be a good idea to change her email address now.
And rein it back a little and things like that. Yeah. Give over control.
Apparently her agent wasn't telling her to control herself in terms of picture taking, because she would, everybody that had a cell phone in there has a selfie with her. Yeah. Because
she's so prolific.
And at times she'd be holding up two cell phones at the same time. Taking, you know, selfies at the same time. And so I don't know how much money she made on photographs. She gave a lot away.
Yeah, well, I mean, they do that as well, don't they? But the photographs that you buy are professional ones with a, you know, high resolution, you know, stuff. So a completely different type of picture, aren't they?
Yeah, our photographer, our official photographer, was great, wasn't he?
Oh, he was, yeah.
There's been some absolutely amazing pictures. I really like the drone picture. That was brilliant.
Mm. Yeah, this is the same guy who did the professional pictures with Ellis.
Mm-hmm.
And he also took the professional pictures with everyone in the TARDIS.
Yeah, that's great.
You're so professional.
Before we move on with Planet of Giants, I just wanted to put a mention out, because it maybe wasn't quite appropriate under the circumstances last week to mention it.
Yeah.
But we were supposed to mention it, but we lost Terry Pratchett, one of the greatest writers of all time, in the last couple of weeks. Mm. I'm a naughty boy. I've never read any of his stuff, but I know it to be amazing. In fact, he's been described as a modern-day Charles Dickens.
Definitely. He's amazing.
I also have never read anything by him.
Don't feel bad about it. I've never watched Sherlock.
Well, that's inexcusable.
But
I own The Color of Magic. Unfortunately, my copy
is white. We know this.
Has color misspelled on it because it's a American edition.
Oh, right, okay.
Oh, right. So you're not reading it under protest.
No. This is another shame that he would have been an ideal writer for Doctor Who and never got the chance to. So it's a bit of a shame.
It's too bad that we don't have Reese on, because Reese was the biggest Pratchett fan ever.
Yeah.
And it was on his high recommendation that I finally broke down and checked a Terry Pratchett book out of the library, but I had a hard time with it, so I never read anything, really.
Yeah, Reese is currently suffering from a condition of the mind called love. So it's very unlikely that we'll hear of him again, unfortunately.
It addles the brain.
It does.
Well, that's
I'm
why
in love, though, but it doesn't stop me from doing a podcast.
That's why I never see my oldest daughter anymore.
Because
she's always
she's
out.
She's in love, is she?
Yes.
Oh, dear.
She just left.
That would be Alicia's excuse. That would be Alicia's excuse for not being on the show anymore, then. Just a nicer one than the normal excuses that she can't be bothered and she hates Doctor Who. She is, in fact, in love.
I miss the Doctor Who sessions I used to have with Fred. Hmm. Remember, she used to watch all these old stories with me.
Yes, yeah.
And then she met the boyfriend.
Don't say my name.
To it, yeah. Say my name. Is he not into it then? Any side whatsoever?
Oh yes, he is. It's just that they spend all their time with each other. They don't.
Yeah, that's all we need to hear. Anyway, right, let's move on. So we're looking at the Planet of Giants extended version.
Diverted.
Your foot hurted?
No, diverted.
Oh, sorry. Episode one begins with their sort of, what was the previous story? I should remember.
Reign of Terror.
Yeah, it's a shame they're not wearing any of their Reign of Terror costumes.
Because he's still wearing his cloak.
Yeah, it's sort of...
Yeah. Doctor has his cloak.
It detaches you slightly from it.
And as you pointed out, Adam, Master, mm-hmm. as you pointed out on a picture I posted on Facebook, Susan is now wearing an Elder's sashes.
Mm-hmm. Yes, she is.
From the Censor Eyes. No, it's her coveralls.
Yes, I know. Dungarees, you mean?
No, I don't. We don't use that word.
Well, that's what they are.
The convenient little pocket.
Yeah, that's right, because the monitor screen blows outwards, but it does really look very much like a video of a screen blowing outwards rather than a screen blowing outwards.
I better make a note.
What?
QR18A14D. There. Can you give me the 2 points?
Ding!
So anyway...
That was last year's question.
That's right.
Be quiet. So anyway, they leave the TARDIS and have a look around, and it's very obvious to the viewer that they have fairly quickly that they have been shrunk down. Not obvious to them.
They rather stretch on while they try and work out that they've been shrunk.
Yes.
And at one point, I think Ian says, we saw a great many dead ants. And just before that, Susan says six.
Okay.
Dead ants. They saw six.
Well, they find a giant tic-tac on the floor.
Dead ant.
Yes.
Dead ant.
The fact is, right, they've touched this giant tic-tac, right, and they're not supposed to touch anything because they could get poisoned. How come the giant tic-tac hasn't got this insecticide on it? Mary, you should be able to answer that question.
Or the worm or anything like that.
Yeah, they'll be killed by it. In fact, the ant is eating one of these giant tic-tacs, so they must be doused in this insecticide, which makes Barbara very ill later on in the story.
It's all right, Mum.
They're eggs. I wanted to insert some comedy into the situation.
You said an ant was eating one. So I'm thinking, I don't remember seeing an ant eating one.
Well, it's holding onto it, and it's dead. It looks like it's eating.
It was carrying it.
I was carrying it.
It was mid-movement and died.
A bit bigger than it. How could an ant lay an egg bigger than itself?
Yeah, I love the way Ian goes, oh, look, there's a whole pile, you know, and it's like not 2 feet away from them, and they look up and, oh my gosh! It's like, look, there's an ant.
Right away. Is it a dead? Dead ant. Dead ant.
I just used
but it sounds better coming from me. Anyway, so they find this poster, which looks like it's sort of advertising. What does it look like it's advertising? What's it advertising?
Seeds.
Plants.
It's not advertising. It's showing.
It is. Oh my God.
It looks like a billboard, but it's
trying
just a
to insert
of light
some
sentence.
Humor into the situation.
Oh. You can, as I've pointed out last time we did this story, they did a very good job matching up their large scale.
Yeah. Matching up their matchsticks.
No, matching up the large scale
box ready, isn't I? That's
the
quite
fact
good.
That they're supposed to be an inch and yet the matchstick giant, you know, it's just.
Right. We moaned about the perspective and size last time, didn't we?
Yes, but it still bothers me.
Yeah, but it can't bother me that much because we do have these things called kitchen matches, which are twice the length of normal matches, don't we?
Oh, so all the ones that light fires.
Anyway, you can see the packet of seeds marking where the seeds have been planted in one of the large scale sets.
Can you?
True.
Yes.
Oh.
It's like there's a little piece of gravel, downspout that is in the large.
We mentioned that last time.
Yes.
Did we? I'm glad you've got a better memory than me because I can't remember any of that.
Good.
All right. I'm trying to find me a jingles folder.
Why?
Because I did a funny and it deserved a rim shot.
I find the sets in this amazing. Even
there was
even
some sex in it. I missed that bit. Oh, sets. Sorry, that was a Skype issue.
S-E-T-S. Sets.
Yeah, go on. What are you laughing at? Oh, sorry, they stopped. Ian sort of climbs in the box, and then this chap comes along and picks up.
Are you sure you're not drinking that Jack Daniels?
Not yet. Yeah. No. I need it though, because my throat's starting to go a bit.
Inhaling it now.
Oh, and then we get that. So Ian's jumped in the matchbox. The bloke picks up the matchbox and carries Ian away. And then we have the pathetic.
Everything is on the floor. Why is stuff scattered? He's got his briefcase and then the matchbox.
Because he's a messy bugger, isn't
he? Stuff down on the damp ground? I don't think so.
Yeah, no. Although it's supposed to be a hot day, so leaving matches out on the
still ground.
Anyway, basically, when Ian's been carried away, Susan has to be cuddled by Barbara in the conventional Barbara cuddling Susan way, which is starting to annoy
me.
Well,
we only have to worry about that one more story, and then we're rid of Susan. So
yes, but one thing that really annoys me about all these stories, and this goes right the way through the 70s of Doctor Who, is a phrase that I'm getting fed up with that's always in Doctor Who.
Which is?
Very well.
Oh.
Very well. Very well.
Yeah.
Very well.
Yeah. I hate it. It's really irritating me.
Who says that when?
They all blooming do it all the time. It's so annoying. When they decide they want to do something they're not quite happy with doing, so they're going to have to do it anyway, so they say very well.
Oh, okay.
Irritating. I haven't got any other choice. They could, a bit of dialogue they could use that sort of mix it up a little bit. They always have to say very well. And the third Doctor was always saying it. So,
but in a snidey way.
So yeah, he's thrown himself from side to side inside the sort of a very brand new satchel. I'd call it a satchel, wouldn't you call it a satchel, Debbie?
Yes, it's a satchel.
It looked like a music satchel more than anything else.
Hang on, it's Kirby's job to be pedantic on this show. It's a satchel, just a satchel.
It's a satchel. It's just a satchel.
Here in the U.S., we call them briefcases.
Yeah,
I would call a satchel.
No, it's a satchel. It's definitely not a briefcase. Briefcases are...
We're grasping at new things to argue about.
Yes, we are.
No, but there was a bit where, you know when Ian... Stop banging the microphone. When Ian gets picked up and the chap bends down to pick up his matchstick, there looks like there's a sort of a sail from a miniature ship sort of in the bottom left-hand corner of the screen. Which is a bit curious.
That's the packet. That's the packet of seeds.
It's been pierced. Yeah, it's been pierced by like a lolly stick to hold it up.
Oh, of course. Oh, now I can see that now.
It's like a pretty.
That's what I was talking about.
I didn't understand what you were talking about until that precise moment. Otherwise, I wouldn't have made myself look like a complete wonk by repeating it just then.
That's fine.
Yeah, so, this is a Forester, isn't it? Comes up and
he's R.K. Maroon from Who Framed Roger Rabbit.
Yes, okay, we know you spotted that one. And he talks in this very deliberate, slightly sinister way.
I like money.
Yes, and I'm going to have a gun inside my coat pocket or even jacket pocket.
What type of gun was it?
It's such a cute little gun.
Yeah. I know, but what kind was it?
I haven't the foggiest.
I know.
And then another dead insect arrives, and Ian gets out of the matchbox. And I love the way that I did like the way the bloke's, the actor's face was sort of up on this big, sort of probably projected, I would imagine, on this big screen.
It looked like it, didn't it? Yeah.
Yeah. And Ian sort of dangles a cloth in front of the screen to
that was really funny.
Decipher that he's dead. And then the cat arrives. It's not the sound a cat makes, let's face it. It doesn't go...
The music was really sort of uninspired.
Yes. Which is unusual because it was Dudley Simpson.
Mm. I thought it was all right, actually, the music. I just thought that was quite amusing. The cat turns up and you're expecting... And does he go... Who's banging their microphone? They're going to get a clip around the... If it wasn't Andy a couple of weeks ago with his been breathing on it, now we've got somebody banging the microphone every 5 seconds. There's always something. Kirby with his been audio problems. Mary with nothing, she's perfect. And now you're all messing around with the microphone.
How is my audio today?
Don't tempt fate, Kirby, for goodness sake.
Do you and
because I have an ack.
You have a what?
What?
An ack.
I have a Mac, that's why.
Oh, sorry. I thought you said it was a Mac. I thought, is it raining out there?
Yeah, I've got a Mac, I'm forgetting my microphone's right down on the side. But this time I've actually taken the case off so you can hear me.
Thank you. That's a great shot. You know the opening titles on the next episode where the cat's eyes are filling up the whole screen? That's lovely.
Yeah.
Whatever you do, don't look into the cat's eyes.
So they look into the cat's eyes.
Yes. My dad pointed that out.
Yeah. So they have now realised that they're little. And
cat's eyes. They look at the cat's eyes.
Yeah, and then they find that the other chap, who's the bloke with the white coat? What was his name?
No, it wasn't
Klimt. No,
Smithers.
Yes.
He must have been like a valet.
Yeah, he was a bit naive, wasn't he? Because somebody who's supposed to be a scientist.
Smithers.
Yeah.
Smithers. Yeah. Isn't Smithers the sniveling assistant to
Burns.
To Mr. Burns. Yes.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Yes. So, Barbara and Ian have made it into the lab while, and this is when they,
magic
Barbara
water.
Makes me laugh by,
magic water again.
What's magic water?
She hurts her leg. She needs some water.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yes. I know.
It's normally Susan's job.
Water cures sprained ankles. I don't know.
Yeah.
Magic water.
But I just love that scene where she picks up the seeds and Ian's just talking about, with his back to her, talking about the things that they've been told not to do in, just after she's done it.
Why didn't she tell him, though? That's what annoyed me last time around and really annoyed me this
because
time around. Why didn't
she's
she
been
tell
so
him?
Ridiculously stupid that she just does not want to, you know, show to herself to be stupid, basically. She knows that they're in a dire situation. Yeah. That they'd have to get her back to the ship, and they can't do that. So she's in a bit of a catch-22, isn't she, really?
And then she sees a fly.
This continuity that really bothers me is that when Ian and Barbara get into that briefcase, it's open, and when they get out, it's open. Hmm. But then they have to talk about, oh, how am I going to open that briefcase? And he puts a lot of time and effort into trying to open that clasp, which was already open.
All right, Mary.
Hang on a minute. Didn't they go and they come in and get the report to doctor it.
Did the doctor? No, he was in the garden still, wasn't he?
Mm-hmm. No, to doctor the report.
Oh, no. It's got to be worth a...
Susan and the doctor are looking at the drain pipe, which I'm blown away by the doctor's comment. Like, oh, there's a strong chemical smell. Well, the chemical smell means it's germ-free.
Right. Yes,
you're kidding? What chemistry do you know?
Chemistry lab did you come from? Yeah.
Anyway, moving on. The bit where Barbara does her pathetic faint, that fly looks really superb, even though it doesn't look like a human.
I pointed this out last time. They didn't construct that for this story. It was constructed for a different BBC production, and someone happened to see it in a warehouse or something and said, hey, can we use that for a day?
Right. Well, could I ask if I was consistent in saying I really like that in the last time?
Oh, yeah. I really like it too.
Yeah, that fly is really good.
Yeah. No wonder she fainted.
Well, because it was so good.
Hmm.
Meanwhile, the Doctor and Susan manage to climb up the drain pipe into the sink, which, again, looks really good. So they're going to climb down and go back with them, and then they realise that that the room is being entered, so they decide to go and hide in the overflow. Not the most sensible of decisions. And so that's that cliffhanger, really. They're sort of about to get washed away when he pulls the plug out. And that was the end of episode 2.
Master. Mm-hmm. I pointed this out last time and you poo-pooed it the last time. I'm going to point it
probably
out again.
Probably quite rightly so.
No.
They very deliberately timed the in sequence with the washing of the hands, rinsing, turning the tap out off, and pulling the plug so that the sink would empty and be completely empty at the exact moment that they faded to black at the end of the credits.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember that from last time and I checked it this time.
And?
Yes.
And it's right. He's right.
Yes, I know. Of course I'm right.
Right. Now, this is where we come into the reconstruction and the...
God.
Right, now. I don't care what you well say. It's interesting to know.
It's your idea, Kirby.
It's interesting to know.
No, I don't think it was my idea.
It was my idea, thank you very much. That, you know, we were talking about the animation and the zooming into the eyes bits on the animation. Well, they do this on this, obviously, to cover up what Forrester is saying. But it works quite well.
No, it doesn't.
Actually, when I first watched this, I wasn't really that impressed with the voice acting.
The voice acting is very well done.
I actually thought all of it was really good, apart from Barbara won that. that good. But I thought the chap who did the Doctor was very good. Obviously, Ian sounds a bit older, as he is, because he's about 50-odd years nearly.
I couldn't find it. I meant to ask you, Adam, before what? I left.
Couldn't find... Oh, Debbie.
What?
What?
I know what you're talking about. I've done my research. I just didn't get to see it.
Well, you could have said I could have arranged something for you. In fact, sorry, you could have borrowed the discs.
I know, I'm sorry.
What
I
did
worked
you to say for yourself? Sorry. That's a shame, because all the questions of the quiz are all on this section of the show.
Fair enough.
Mary, did you see this segment?
I did, yeah.
How did you see it?
On Dailymotion.
Oh, of course.
Dailymotion.
Dailymotion.
Yeah.
Dailymotion.
Yeah, Dailymotion.
Yeah. There's quite a lot of mixing with the stuff we've already seen and a recreated stuff and little bits that they've shot especially of just hands writing things and
yeah.
You know, and some very weird animation at times.
Yeah, the animation is
Computer animation is a bit naff, but they did quite a good job of making it look or degrading it so as you'd sort of notice less. And also the only thing that annoyed me was that they didn't quite get the audio, the degradation of the audio right. Because the audio of the actual program actually sounds quite good, but they over-degraded the new stuff. So they've gone a bit too far with that side of things. But on the whole, that was okay. Because Big Finish had a play in this, didn't they, I think? Didn't they help with the audio on this? Or am I wrong?
Insufficient data for meaningful response.
First time ever.
Now, in the Reign of Terror, they give credit.
Yeah, they do.
To Finish, but they didn't in this one, so I don't think they played a part.
Yeah, you were talking about the dodgy animation. There's a shot of what is supposed to be the telephonist woman, just around the corner from the door, and it looks like they haven't quite rendered it properly. It's really weird. In fact, they could have done a better job with that, to be fair. Because it just looks like a wooden doll, doesn't it?
Many of the scenes with the animated cat, it's strange. The cat is like two-thirds of a cat.
The canimated ant. It's
animated cat.
Yeah, okay. Sorry, Kirby. Only joke. Oh, dear. Right, knocked him out. Anyway, so, Yeah, so Barbara's getting worse, and then they decide they're going to, they've got this plan to sort of try and contact the switchboard people. So Barbara's doing a bit of dazed acting sort of thing while they lift the receiver up and put the corks underneath it.
She's plucky enough to get up onto the phone and do everything, but she's lolling about very, very self-consciously.
And that was the cliffhanger to episode 3, her collapsing.
She keeps being faint and weak, and then suddenly, she springs back to life.
And then she refuses to go back to the ship, being a proper martyr and stuff.
And she complains at the one point that she is, how are they going to get her down the drain because of going down the chain and everything? Yeah. And yet, at the end of the story, that's the only way they can get her there.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, wait a second.
How did they get her there?
And carrying the seed.
Yeah.
Well, the grain,
And that's there was another bit of the reconstruction where she's moaning about these reasons why she can't, they can't escape. And they've got they've used a different clip of her, and she's got a completely wrong expression on her face. Unfortunately, I know they were sort of scratching around for little bits to use for these sections, but it did look a bit weird. She's quite calm in that the visual part of that scene, whereas the actress is sort of looking quite stressed. And then they cut to another scene from the actual part of the episode where she does look stressed. So that didn't quite work. But I don't mind it because I can see what they're trying to do. And I think they did a really good job, to be fair. So, So all the missing parts, like the dead cat looked a bit weird. I'm sure they could have done a better job with a dead cat.
Dead cat. No, it doesn't work.
They did all right with the background fuzz of the bloke with his sort of scientist's coat on. But unfortunately, it's not dirty enough. But anyway, I'm being a bit pedantic there, aren't I?
Can you hear?
Yeah, essentially it is the same as episode 3. It's just some extra bits on it, isn't it, really?
Essentially, yes.
And that's all I'm going to say on it, because we know what happens. They frame the baddies by alerting the police enough to give them, make them suspicious enough to go out and catch them in, catch them red-handed, really. And of course, that was a notification from the BBC. And they make the can explode into the baddie's eyes, and then it goes off and films Who Framed Roger Rabbit.
The doctor thinks, you know, it's their activities that alerted, but it wasn't. It was just the strangeness of things going on that brought the policeman.
Yeah, and then we have a Thunderbirds countdown, while the seed shrinks inside the
Something that wasn't very clear to me was, and this was in episode 3, is it because Forrester is smoking or something? Because you hear this hissing, and they animate, you know, his face with a lot of smoke coming out of it, but it doesn't look like cigarette smoke.
He is smoking, isn't he? Yeah.
And then they're all worried about the blood and everything. So, so is it, are they saying that he's smoking in the lab there? Is that what got them all coughing and yelling?
Insufficient data.
No, that's what it is. You're correct.
Yeah, but he blew out way more smoke than anybody would.
Yeah, it was animated.
He didn't inhale.
It was very
strange. Yeah. He didn't inhale anything, but he blew all this smoke.
Excuse me. Right. I can't remember what I said about this story last. I quite like this story, but I actually enjoyed it a little bit more with the yes, we are these added bits. It drew me in better because this is actually quite interesting. But I remember, hang on, let me finish. I remember last time just sort of just listening to the voices and not really paying attention to the story. But this time I sort of just accepted it as being part of the story, and it didn't ruin it at all for me. I just sort of felt a bit of love for everybody who'd gone to the trouble of putting this together. Yeah. And I thoroughly enjoyed the way they've done it. And it was nice to just have something different, an extra episode that was never to be and we may never have seen. And I'm very pleased with it. It enhanced it because it's not a bad story. And I think it could have, you know, say they had made this a four-parter, it wouldn't have been bad as a four-parter. We're always moaning about episodes or stories that, you know, could be a little bit shorter. I think this would have been quite good with that extra part. But obviously Kirby and Mary probably disagree with me. Who should we go for first, then, Debbie?
Leave them all in, we want them reduced. If they're loosened, then we try to pad them out and say...
So who's going first, then? I think Kirby hates it the most. Go on, Kirby.
I'm disappointed by the production values of the reconstruction.
Right.
I liked it. I mean, I liked having the full story put out there because essentially that third episode of the original version just jumps around so oddly. So I enjoyed that they did this, but I just found it strange when, like, every time you need to see a close up of Who Framed Roger Rabbit? What's his name?
Forrester,
you'd end up with the same scene showing his eyes and nose and not, you couldn't see his mouth. I know. And the cat animation was horrible.
I didn't mind. I enjoyed
the effort they put into it, and I thought the voice work was great. I mean, even Toby was in there, you know.
Yeah.
Toby was Forrester.
Yeah. He did a great job.
One thing that is interesting, over on Andy Nunney's Facebook, he got into a little bit of a conversation with the producer of this thing.
What, Ian Levine?
No. Ed Stradling, the producer,
right.
The director.
Sorry. I didn't know. Yeah.
Ian Levine was the director. Ed Stradling was the producer.
Okay.
And Ed came on Facebook. He says, "All I can tell you is that I lost the urge to live when we were doing it." and then Ed comes on and says, "Make sure you watch the accompanying short feature in which I make the appropriate excuses." And that's the little making of feature, which is pretty interesting, by the way, because they talk to Toby. They talk to the guy who does the doctor. And then Andy puts his foot in his mouth. He says, "Doesn't help that Daily Motion keeps playing adverts."
Right.
And Ed Stradling comes on and says, "Buy the bloody DVD then, you filthy pirates."
Excellent. So what was Andy's response to that?
Adverts then.
And Andy responds, LOL, if it's out there, then it must be legal.
Excuse me for a moment. You guys carry on. Isla's acting up. I'll be back in a minute.
Okay.
We'll put her in a play or something if she's acting.
Any more to this story?
Yes.
Go on.
Andy says, I'll be positive about the production qualities. Maybe you might like to listen to the show recording Sunday night. Ed then says, no wonder our budgets were so low. People don't buy the DVDs, watch pirate copies, and then write about how rubbish they are. Mm-hmm. Rightly, in this case, admittedly. In other words, he didn't like the thing that they put together. And then he says, concerning us, never heard of it, but it might entertain me on the M4 on Monday.
The what? Oh, the M4. Sorry, I thought you said the N4. Cool. I hope he does, but we haven't recorded it yet.
We haven't, so...
Oh, dear.
And then Andy keeps doing back and forth. He says, can you confirm this is made from the original scripts? Yes. But that was a little interesting thing that the producer actually came on, and I'm sure Andy probably has some more about it in his feedback.
Well, I'll have to get onto that thread and just let Mr. Stradling know that buy the DVD.
So do I.
No, you didn't. You're fibbing.
What?
Just winding up.
Ah. What?
Winding you up. I was winding... Never mind.
How could... you know I refuse to watch Daily Motion.
I know. I'm winding you up, Kirby. Let's move on.
The DVD also has a really interesting thing about Jaclyn Hill.
Yeah. Yes.
A Life in Pictures, which is worth watching.
Yeah, I might have to watch that again because I've forgotten it.
Worth watching.
Yeah, I think you're right. Anyway, moving on. Mary, what did you think of this one?
Well, I actually have to say I enjoyed it more the second time through because getting past the story, I loved the sets and the special effects and all that. I think they went to a lot of effort and came up with things that are very believable, very realistic looking most of the time. So I was just aghast at how much work they put into this because they didn't have a lot of time to put this together. And it had a very Twilight Zone-like feel to me because Twilight Zone was best known for the episodes that make us look at our world in an entire from a different viewpoint. And
yes.
Having them be so miniaturized, I kept expecting Rod Serling to step in and say, you know, Planet Earth, 1960, whatever. And, you know,
what happened? Was it supposed to be set in?
Are only an inch high, you know, whatever he would say. But yeah.
What year did you say, Debbie?
Yeah, what year was it supposed to be set in?
I thought it was probably 1963.
It was 1964.
So, yeah. So current with the.
Four then. Yeah, current as of when it was
Although,
filmed.
Master, would they have been using switchboards like that in the countryside?
Probably not. Well, no.
Yeah.
Do you reckon?
Yeah.
Not sure. Good point. I don't know.
One thing I was amused with was when they were first trying to climb those paving stones to see where they were. They pull Susan down. And then Barbara tries, and they pull her down, you know, like, oh, no, you guys can't do this. And then the old
dodgery man,
the doctor tries to climb, but then Susan and Barbara are both supporting him to get up there. And I think, well, this is kind of weird.
Determined to be the gentleman, yeah.
But, yeah, so, yeah, I enjoyed it.
Good. Right. Debbie, how are we going to do this where you haven't watched the reconstruction?
Just gloss over that fact.
Buy the bloody DVD.
Buy the DVD. I nearly did when
you
I was in
You can borrow the DVD. I have the DVD. You can borrow it if you like.
Yes, I know. I nearly bought
you
it
probably
though,
won't, though,
with
you?
Me when I was in Huon the other day. And that's Huon.co.uk. Yes, that's right. But I ended up buying loads of books instead.
Good. Did you buy the script? No, it's not in there yet. Andrew Cartmill's book. It wouldn't have been in there yet because we haven't negotiated anything.
Nope, I didn't buy that,
okay.
But I bought loads of episodes that we've watched, you know, like the Aztecs,
yes.
And Reign of Terror and things like that. I bought a load of books.
Cool. Well, okay, then most of you liked it then?
Well, I liked it last time, but this time I felt episode one dragged a lot while they're trying to work out that they're small.
Oh, okay.
And obviously last time I watched it, I was new to it. I'd never seen it before.
Yes.
And... So I was waiting and eager and wanting to see.
But you have to take into consideration. Consideration?
I think it was the first William Hartnell one that I'd watched.
Maybe, but what you have to take into consideration, though, Debbie, that, sorry, I'm getting messaged, that when this first went out, it wouldn't have been repeated for a while. So I think everybody would have had your, you know, your first impressions of it would probably count more. If that makes sense.
I think this time, because I knew what was coming, it was just like, come on, come on, come on, come on, come on, work it out. Let's get a move on, you know. And I did feel like I was rushing myself to watch it this time. And but no, I still enjoyed it, and I thought the sets were sumptuous.
So you agree with Mary?
Yes.
Hang on, I'm just going to reply to this message.
Time check, 4610.
Oh, for God's sake, I'm trying to type no and it's coming up a little funny.
It's two letters.
It's four letters, actually. Here we go.
Word no.
So that's it. So no! Once again, we cover Planet of Giants and we sort of like it a bit. And I like it even more with the extra episode. Right, so now we can move on to other subjects. What?
Watched the reconstruction the last time we did it, and you guys decided not to talk about it.
Yeah, that's true.
That's because I knew we were going to come back to it very soon.
No, you didn't.
Yes,
you had the journey planned for us even then.
Yeah, I don't keep you privy to my program. It's not evil. I don't give you. Oh God, I give up. Right. Yes. Sometimes I keep things to myself. That was what I was trying to say, but in a more interesting way. Apparently, the news that has come on is some patron of Singapore, founding PM, dies at the age of 91. Singapore's founding Prime Minister Lee Kuan Yew has died in hospital at the age of 91. So that's basically what I was getting a message from the BBC.
In hospital for months.
Yes.
I was wondering, I didn't see that in the Doctor Who news.
We're not doing
Doctor Who news just yet. Right. I'm trying to find my email section. Because we're going to move on to a thing called feedback. You could have done that a bit slower, so it'd give me time to actually load up the... That's it. Yeah, keep it going, because it hasn't loaded up yet. No, it's slower. Right. Even slower. No, not that slow. But that'll do.
How about if I breathe on the microphone?
20
a while.
Lighters, it's Andy in the here. It's 10 to 10 on Friday night. I won't be able to join you on Sunday because while you'll be talking about Who, I'll actually be watching The Who with the lovely Dawn as a belated birthday present from the rearranged gig, watching Roger Daltrey and Pete Townshend, Zach Starkey and a few others perform the great works of The Who at the O2. So, I'll actually wear my Doctor Who t-shirt while I'm there. Anyway, I haven't actually watched the whole of Planet of Giants. What I've actually watched is the reconstructed episode 3 and 4. Logic behind that is we did it not long ago, and life's too short to live through that again. My goodness, I mean, I said I'd done it was then. But I watched episode 3 and 4, and what was actually interesting was while I was watching it, I was actually in conversation on Facebook with Ed Stradling, who was the producer, and also Steve Roberts, who I think everyone has probably heard of from the Restoration team. They accused me of a pirate through watching the Daily Motion, but they were actually able to come up with some very good information. So the positive is about the episode 3 and the reconstructed episode 4 and how they put it together. Now, this was quite ingenious, because what they've used, it's quite clear how they've done it. They've used shots they've used previously, maybe reversing the shots. Alan Tilvin talking to the phone is something they've used that several times. Also, they've used some, clearly what is CGI, but also some shots that are out of focus, like the telephone operator. You can see different shot from the back, held in pose. Shots where things are out of focus. I'm doing hand gestures again. I shouldn't do that on the phone. It just really doesn't work on audio. But to actually take the story forward, they've reconstructed some scenes, but they've done them in such a way that it's not obvious that it is a reconstruction, or if not, then it's a very good way of doing it. So, I've actually just had a message from Ed, so apparently I've got to buy a various number of beer because I was accused of slagging his story off, and certainly that's something I've not done. But from that point of view, what they've done is they've taken the original script forward, and they've actually confirmed that while we were online together, to work it through. Now, they've had to revoice some of it, and if you watch the DVD that, obviously, I didn't watch, though, it was obviously what came up on Daily Motion, is people revoicing it. Now, the voices aren't the same, and that clearly was always going to be a problem, because you'll never be able to do the same voices. So you get William Russell revoicing himself and Caroline Ford, so you had that much there as well. So the production crew, they did a very good job, because what they were to do is, they're trying to rebuild something that was never actually built in the first place, or if it was built, it's been completely deleted. So what they're trying to do is work out what it would have been like. Take bits they can use from previous scenes, sometimes flipping it through 180 degrees so it's a mirror image, sometimes doing CGI, sometimes out of focus shots, to recreate these scenes. Now that, I think, again, I use the word clever a lot in the way they said it, and I think that was very well done. Because they've been able to reimagine it, but reimagine it actually was, rather than you think things like Power of the Daleks has been redone, which is reimagined in a new way. They have tried to stick as closely to what would have been filmed at the time without ever actually seeing it. And I think they succeed very, very well with that. Because it's something you... It does, the story does flow. You know, you can... Unfortunately, you can see which bits are original, which bits are scenes being used from the one, which bits are recreations. But it still allows that flow of context. There are one or two bits, like anyone knows at one point the telephone operator is actually talking and she's still plugging the phone in. You know, it's
yes. I saw that.
Obviously, anyone under about 50, well, I'm nearly there, only got 3 months to go, crikey, won't actually understand what they're about, and they say use the mobile phone just straight through, but yeah, that's the way it was, apparently. I can just about remember that myself. Scary, isn't it? So yeah, the way this was put together was excellent, because it's using the skills we've got now, the technology we've got now to rebuild something, using the imagination, but in such a way that you're very faithful to what was true. And that's why, as Ed said, they used the original script. So they had some reference material. I guess perhaps William Russell and Caroline Ford were able, possibly, to add things to it. Now, Ed said there's a documentary on the DVD that I didn't watch. Sorry, Ed, I will buy it one day, honestly. He said he might listen to the show. So if you've got that, please do go out and watch that and just see what Ed says about it, because we actually had a discussion as well. What was the final episode called? According to the Peter Haining celebration book from 1983, it's called An Urge to Live. On screen it's titled as The Urge to Live. What Ed said is he lost the urge to live while he was doing it. Although he says it's not one of the most boring ones, but Ed, thank you for your contributions there. If you are listening since you go to the M4, then that offer of a pint definitely stands. That's the upside. The downside, this was dreadfully boring. You can see now, you know, from the sterling work these lads have done, why it was cut down to 3 episodes.
No, you can't. I disagree.
Because there just wasn't enough there. The first 2 episodes, I mean, you know, I'd say I'm not going to go over what I talked about not that long ago now. The first 2 episodes did flow quite quickly. The third episode was only quick because it was... compressed, thank you, that's the word I'm looking for.
Well done.
Into one. When you stretch it out into what's the original two, you can see that it just doesn't work, unfortunately, as a four-part story, because there isn't enough material to keep it going.
Disagree.
While the content of the story may be clever.
I agree.
Yeah, but
it all worked in the first half.
My opinion counts.
With, you understood there's a poison, you understood how it's being spread, you saw the cat dying. You spread it too thinly over the last 2 episodes to make it, and that's why it didn't work. But to go back to the positives, and Ed and Steve, anyone who's following this on Facebook, if you go back to Friday night, look at my feed, you'll see we had some chat there. I'm not slagging this off. What you did was a very good job. The source material we had was poor. That's why you're doing it now. So from that point of view, a success, because it's doing something that's never been done before, might quite possibly never be done again.
Stop breathing on the microphone.
Anyway.
I'm not.
By the time this is being broadcast, by the time you're recording this, I'll be bopping away at the O2. By the time you listen to this, I'll probably be at work. But thanks, Ed, Steve, everybody else, Jan Vincent, Ian Levine, all the people who put it together, Caroline Ford, William Russell, etc., etc. Good piece of work. Thanks for doing this. and be seeing you.
That's Andy Nunny, everybody.
Thank you, Andy.
Master?
Yes?
I just got a text message about 5 minutes ago.
You did?
From Mary Lang.
Oh, no.
Says, I seem to have lost the power in my house.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
And you may notice that she has dropped off of the Skype session.
Well, she's still there online, according to this. If I clicked on add to call, do you think anything would happen?
No, her picture disappeared a while back, didn't it?
Her picture disappeared.
Yeah. I'll see what happens if I add her to call. Mind you, it'd take her a while for her back to reboot, but then that's weird that she would still be online.
That's if she's got power to power the Mac. Well, it's probably a Mac with a battery, isn't it? Except she may not have internet.
No, I know. So every week,
would that be it? If she's lost the power, then
imagine if that happened to me. What would happen to the show?
I'd play on it from somewhere else.
No, she just didn't want to listen to Andy's feedback. I think. Never mind. Oh yes, of course. Let's carry on.
Captain.
Come on, Andy. Oh, come on, Ian.
Hello, 20 Megabyte Podcast. This is Ian Kirk. Phantom Jones by Louis Marx. This was a 4-part story, but was edited down to 3 parts by merging parts 3 and 4. There's a fan-produced version, restoring the final 2 parts. That is what we are reviewing today. The only part removed from the shorter version is the death of the cat from insecticide poisoning. The other elements were longer. The rewriting of the report, disposal of the body, the couple at the telephone exchange, and deciding whether to get Barbara to the TARDIS or try to stop the insecticide. The Doctor still has his cloak from the Reign of Terror. It comes in handy for carrying a sample seed at the end.
Yes, indeed.
An incidental music is the first for Doctor Who by Dudley Simpson. Barbara hiding the fact she's poisoned goes on a bit too long.
Mm.
How they got her down the drain pipe was glossed over at the end.
The
Doctor showed how the seed remained its own size and appeared to shrink as the TARDIS grew back to its normal size. He made a point of saying that the poison in Barbara would become insignificant. This was a good story. The giant-sized sets were well done. The pace was slow, but it usually was in those days.
Sadly,
Susan,
yes.
Where are you? Don't breathe on the microphone. Bye for now.
Oh, excellent. Isn't it good to have Ian back?
Classic from Ian.
Master?
Yes?
We have an update from Ohio.
Which
oh,
is?
Oh, yeah, how is she?
It says, the neighbors have no power either, so I don't know when this will be resolved.
Oh, no.
Such a sort of over-the-top way of getting out of the quiz.
That is, isn't it?
Totally
unnecessary.
She's chickened out big time, and she had a really good chance this week, too.
Well, I hope it's not too cold there for her at the moment.
Mm, indeed.
Hang on, let me tell her that they're accusing...
No.
You're accusing her of chickening out from the quiz.
Is it really worth it?
Kirby, stop winding it up.
Anyway...
Ian
Burge
sent some feedback.
Oh, go on then, sorry. It's not back, because Ian Burge sent some feedback. Go on then, Debbie.
Mm-hmm. Planet of the Giants review. Well, what can one say about this story that you guys haven't already brilliantly said in the podcast?
Oh, thank you very much.
Ooh. Also, I haven't seen this story, so there isn't much point in me talking about it. However, if I may be so bold, I like to introduce a bit of a discussion for all 20 Megabyte podcasters and fans. We've just looked back at the Reign of Terror and Plants of the Giants, I think. Both stories on DVD have elements of animated episodes. So what do we feel about animated episodes? I myself think the two animated episodes of The Invasion are the best episodes in that story, and in general, I feel that Doctor Who fans are lucky to have animated episodes on DVD. Should all missing episodes be animated?
I think so.
Or is two episodes per story the right amount? Secondly, sorry if I'm going on a bit, As we've just seen the historical story Reign of Terror and have many great historicals to come, e.g. the Romans. Look how happy Mary is at this prospect, for I can almost see the tears of joy. Mm. What historical period would you guys like the Doctor to visit? Here are my top three historical story ideas. 1. American Revolutionary War. The Doctor finds himself battling against an alien who wishes the British to win, thus stopping the worldwide spread of democracy, 19th and 20th century. 2. The Doctor at the building of the Taj Mahal. No real story here, but it would look pretty. 3. The Doctor trapped in a US Civil War ironclad. Could be rather atmospheric story and possibly the historical's answer to Midnight. Thanks again for a great podcast.
Yeah, thank you very much. Any more feedback?
That's all I've seen.
Well, in answer to his question, there's a few periods in history I'd like them to visit, because I've always thought of, you know, doing a story myself, maybe, like the how Stonehenge got built. You know, have a sci-fi element to that. I know they've actually had Stonehenge in the story, but, you know.
Well, it was just where the Pandorica was, really. Yeah, you know.
But obviously that's why they probably can't go back and do that. Things like that, really. Sort of Easter Island, you know, those mysterious heads on Easter Island. That could be a sci-fi thing, couldn't it, if you think about it?
Hmm.
Yes.
Why their bodies were buried, you know.
The Bermuda Triangle. Bring that into Doctor Who, because that's quite an interesting thing. Yeah, sorry, Kirby.
The Doctor should appear at a Doctor Who convention.
A Doctor Who convention, yeah.
Or a Star Wars one, just for a laugh. Oh, I know TARDIS is arriving.
Yes. Mary says Debbie's going to win anyway.
I might not. Didn't see the reason.
Well, we'll soon find out, because it's now time for this week's edition of The Returning. You won't
That's
get this one. Yeah, I'm not quite ready. I didn't prepare myself with a piece of paper. Right. Yes, Debbie.
I thought you used your iPad for this.
I do, but I need to write the scores down on a piece of paper.
He does when I'm there just to impress me.
It doesn't take a lot to impress you, Debbie.
Tell that to my husband.
Right. Right, okay, right, I'm just nearly ready. It's just loading up the questions. Right, this is the questions for the quiz this week, which are going to be quite interesting to you, because I'm going to do it the other way around. I'm going to give the answers, and you've got to give me the question that I would have been attached to that answer. Yes,
interesting.
You thought it was going to be...
using last year's?
Yes.
Okay.
Don't cheat.
I don't have it.
I didn't
go back and listen to last year's for this one.
No.
I didn't have time. I was still dealing with recovering from the convention.
Okay, right, shut up. Debbie.
Yeah.
Barbara.
Faster?
Yes? Faster? Hang on, you aren't going to answer the question. You're just going to carry on laughing.
No, I...
Okay. Bear in mind, these are all in order of when they happened in the original without the extra episodes. Yes. So the first answer is...
I think I know.
Yeah, probably because you've written them all down. Yes, Debbie. Give Debbie a chance, please. She never wins the quiz. Barbara is the answer. What's the question, Debbie?
Has it got any... Is it something to do with the phone?
Kirby?
You're talking... We're starting at the beginning of the episode?
More or less, yes. So the answer is Barbara. The question is...
No. It's who burnt themselves?
It's the correct answer. Right, Kirby.
Master.
The space pressure was too great. What's the question?
Why did the doors open?
Correct. Debbie.
Yes.
What? Sorry, I nearly did the question then. That was a bit silly, wasn't it? Right, the answer is... You ready?
Yes.
All right. The answer is death. What's the question?
Okay. Oh.
And you're not supposed to die. It's a question. You're not supposed to actually die on air. Sorry? No.
What are they likely to find outside when the doors open or something?
Kirby? Kirby?
Nope.
Oh, my goodness. The question was, what has its particular posture and appearance?
Right, how are we supposed to get that out?
Tough. Right, so you remember watching listening to the last version of this particular quiz, so you should be able to pick up some of these answers. Right then, so Kirby.
Master?
A poker.
The ant.
What about it?
It's dead.
Yes.
So it's stiff as a poker.
Got there in the end, didn't we?
Oh, well done, Kirby.
Lord. Right, Debbie.
Yes?
Norwich.
What?
Where the knight-centred stock came from.
I'll give you that one. I think that's fair enough, yes.
Yay.
Excellent.
Kirby. Master. It's not the actual... What I've got written down is what part of England was the packaging that Ian and Susan found from. I think that's fair enough. That what Debbie said.
Yes, she got it.
If Kirby says so, that's right. Okay, right. Kirby, the answer to the question was World Fair.
I remember talking about that before, but what was it?
I think I know that one.
Ooh.
Go ahead.
Hang on. Right, go on then, Debbie.
What Ian suggests that they're at rather than being shrunk.
Good enough for me. Right, Debbie.
Yes.
An inch.
How tall they are.
Yeah, I think that's almost about right. That's what I'll do for me. That's right. Kirby.
About an inch.
Yeah, it says what size were they reduced roughly to, which is essentially what you said. Kirby.
Master.
Mr. Farrow.
Dead!
Is that your answer?
Huh?
Is that your answer?
That he's the person who's going to be killed.
Debbie?
The man reading the notebook or who the bag belongs to?
That was two answers or questions, essentially cheating. Now, the question was, who did the matchbox that Ian ended up in belong to?
Oh, yeah.
Right.
The man who was going to be killed.
Yeah,
there you go.
Debbie.
Yes.
Right, hang on, just got to get my mouse ready. DN6.
Mm. The name of the insecticide that they were waiting to patent.
Kirby.
Master.
Because he doesn't allow the word can't to exist. What's the question?
Oh, I know.
For something about... what was it? Forrester makes a lot of money because he can't allow the word can't to exist.
That's essentially the correct answer. It's not exactly word for word, but I'm not worried about the moment. As long as you've got the right idea. Yes,
he's got this business about business.
Yes, it was why is Forrester a success? So essentially what you said. Right then. Debbie.
Yes.
Rivers of France.
That's where Farrow is heading to on a tour of.
Kirby.
Master.
Worse than a Big Dipper.
I know that one. Being
inside the briefcase.
Debbie.
Yes.
Master, which do you have a roller coaster called the Big Dipper somewhere in England?
In Blackpool.
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Where
Debbie's to? Turn. Debbie's turn.
Debbie's turn, right there. A paperclip hit it.
Barbara's leg. Ankle, her right leg.
I give you a point for that. Kirby, a more accurate part of her leg.
I thought it was her shin.
Oh dear.
Wait.
No, it wasn't. It was a knee. Oh. So you missed out on a bonus point there. Right then, Kirby.
Master.
An echo chamber.
Being in the drain.
In the drain?
I think, Kirby.
No, too late. You said it yourself, Debbie, so you got the point. Right, Debbie.
Yes.
They were in the drain
in the
sink.
No, they were in the sink. Not that. Okay. The question was, what did the Doctor compare like the Kirby. Sink to? Okay.
It's all right, Kirby.
Right, Debbie.
Yes.
Hid in overflow pipe. What's the question?
How did Susan and the Doctor survive the water?
Almost word for word. Right, Kirby.
Master.
Strange operator. What's the question? You won't get this
operator? One. Strange
operator? What's the question?
Strange operator.
Strange
operator. You didn't get the question last time when it was the right way around, so I don't expect you to get it right this time.
Okay. I said strange last time around?
Did you? I don't know.
Did we argue over it as well?
Probably, you know.
I have no idea.
Okay, I think it's.
I mean, Hilda's an operator, yeah. But
Debbie,
why?
What is the question to this answer? Strange operator.
I don't know.
Then the question was, how did the switchboard operator introduce herself to Forrester? She did so by saying, "Strange operator."
Does that mean that they're in a town called Strange?
Possibly.
She said exchange.
She
that's
said,
it. We argued about this last time.
She said strange operator.
Oh, that's right. We did argue about this last time.
Yes, we should
she
have
said
remembered
exchange,
that.
Exchange operator. Yes,
I've got it written down here.
You
yes, exchange
the,
operator.
You look at the subtitles. And because this is what's in, you should remember. I'm not going to argue with you again. Strange operator was the answer.
Why not?
Because you what couldn't remember it. You should have done. Right. Whose question was that? I've lost where I was now. That
That's
was
Kirby.
Right, this is your question then, Debbie. Mm-hmm. Or answer. Whitmore.
Forrester imitates Farrow to talk to him. The
I'm
guy in
no
Whitehall.
No, I'm going to say no to that. Good, Kirby.
That's who Forrester is trying to call.
Is the correct answer.
Strange operator.
Correct. Right. Kirby.
Master.
Arnold.
Arnold?
Yes.
Oh, that's Pharaoh's first name.
Yay.
Correct. Debbie.
Yes.
60%.
60% improvement on insecticides.
Whoa.
Whoa.
Right.
Thank you. Thank
Kirby.
Master.
Phosphoric.
It's an acid.
Yes.
It's probably something when they're looking over the notes when they all crawled all over that piece of paper.
I'll give you that one. Eventually we got there, didn't we? Right, Debbie.
Yes.
Corks.
How they lifted, after they'd lifted the receivers, they used them to hold the receiver up.
Yeah, it's occurred to me, if this had been said in modern times, it would have been completely different with all the telephony and everything.
Mm-hmm.
Indeed.
He probably would have gotten away with murder.
Yes, probably would.
Would have, wouldn't he? Yeah, it would have quietly happened in the background.
Yep. Right, next question is, oh dear, I've lost where I was now. Who was the last one for?
Well, it was me.
Right. Yes. Therefore, this is for Kirby.
Master.
Susan.
Okay, if we were talking about corks, I'm going to make a wild guess. And it's one of the people that the doctor says something like, "Susan, you go up there ahead of me and I'll pass a cork to you."
I'll give you a point for that. That's
yes.
Pretty good guesswork, really. The actual answer was who was given the job of placing the corks under the receiver. So
oh.
That's pretty good, but not quite 100% there.
I didn't remember exactly who did it.
No, well done. Anyway, Debbie.
Yes.
Hilda.
Hilda is the name of the strange operator.
Exchange operator, yes.
Kirby.
Master.
70% less.
70% less what? I don't know.
Right. Debbie?
The effect on Barbara of DN6 when she's the right size.
Well, I couldn't get much more correct than that. Debbie.
Yes.
What is the name of the policeman? Oh, forget that one. I know that one. Wrong way round. Forget that one. I'll skip that one. Debbie.
But can't we answer it?
No. No. Sorry. I made a mistake then. So I'm not having that one. Debbie.
Yes.
Insecticide.
The spray can that they're trying to explode.
Kirby.
I told you she
would. I'll try not to do the question this time.
Master.
Water.
Barbara needs what tastes good at the end.
Oh, eventually we get there.
Yay, well done, Kirby.
Right. Debbie.
Yes.
Smithers.
Excellent.
Excellent. Realises DN6 will kill everything?
No. Kirby?
Gets arrested?
No. No. It was, what was the name of Forreston's scientist friend?
Oh, okay.
Simple as that. Okay. Right. Kirby?
Master?
Guess what? This is the last question. And, yeah, I'll tell you the scores in a minute. Right, last question then. Dudley Simpson.
He was the incidental music composer. I mentioned that.
Okay.
I also answered that one last time around.
Yes, and the winner is Mary. Right, no. Right.
Yes, it is.
Yes,
the final scores.
Mary by default.
Yeah. Final scores in last place with 19 points, and the winner got 22, by the way, was Kirby. And the winner, obviously, therefore, Debbie, with 22 points.
That was pretty darn close, though.
That was very close.
Yes, Kirby was really miles good. Ahead for ages and then just threw it away in the usual way. Yes, Kirby?
I was expecting us to have feedback and people from ConGT calling and giving us feedback, which is, I was not prepared to give you highlights, but I've got my pictures up in front of me. Yeah. I could give you a general rundown of some of the highlights.
You could do
if
indeed.
You wanted.
If you'd like to do that, that's fine by me. Go on.
When? Oh, now?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay, well, Julia and I got up very early on Friday morning and drove up to Tennessee.
But can you do it without trying to sound like Cher? Carry on, sorry.
Is there a problem with my audio?
No, not as bad as normal. Carry on.
So we got up there and walked in the lobby of the hotel, and I looked around and... walking out from the indoor pool area was Andrew. he had just taken his morning swim and re-met him. And he met us in the lobby a few minutes later, and I drove him into Nashville. Well, actually, he had four stops that he wished to make. First place we stopped was the post office because he needs to mail something to someone in Chicago. Second stop was at a Walmart of all places.
Fair
because
enough.
He needed to pick up stuff to bring back to his cat sitter. and it was he was impressed that the fact I knew that the equivalent of Walmart was Asda. So I assume that I'm correct.
Possibly.
Okay.
Yeah, you're probably right. I don't know.
Maybe Aldi.
Okay. Anyway, then we drove into Nashville, which was about a 45-minute drive, and went to this gigantic liquor store where he needed to pick up some stuff for his brother. And that's where I got the picture of him posing with Jack Daniels.
Yeah, I like that. That was a good picture.
And then we hit two used record stores, which were interesting, but Julie and I didn't find them as interesting as Andrew did. but he was fascinated and bought all sorts of stuff. And on our way back to the convention, we stopped by the full-size replica of the Parthenon, which is in Nashville, and took pictures in front of that. He was suitably impressed. So that evening we had the VIP party, which was pretty cool. And we had the professional pictures done with Ellis. And
have we seen these professional pictures?
It was obviously bouncing off the walls throughout the whole con.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes. I will post all these pictures in an album probably in a couple of days because I've got to prepare for, I'm going to be on another podcast tomorrow and I've got to prepare for it. And no, it's not even science fiction related. I'm going to be talking about the Marx Brothers.
Cool.
On the Earth Station One podcast. So I need to watch some more Marx Brothers. Anyway, ran across Bonnie from Conca Service, who was as nice as she always is. And did some wine tasting and had lots of...
I thought you didn't drink.
A very tiny bit of wine.
Okay. So you're not quite up to Andy's sort of standards.
No. I was kind of convinced. Andrew walked over to me and said, you know, that wine, it was locally made, was very good, and I should try it. So I did. And I ended up having too many of the appetizers because then we went out to dinner with Alice and Andrew afterwards. And I was so full. So the next morning, the convention started, and just one thing after another, just great, these great interviews. We had, during the day, we had Ellis do a commentary to Kill the Moon.
Oh, that's brilliant. That sounds good.
And we had Andrew do commentary to the first episode of Remembrance.
Cool.
Which was really good.
Yeah.
Watched the cosplayers wander around. I don't know if you saw the picture of the littlest adipose.
Yes, that was lovely.
She's so cute. She won the kids division.
Good.
Went outside. We were worried about rain all weekend. And fortunately, at the time they had scheduled for the drone, the weather had stopped raining. So we were able to get the drone picture. Just wandering around, ran across this one kid dressed in an 11th Doctor outfit who decided to put his fez out in front of him in the hallway. He started rocking back and forth like he was a begging for alms. He got like 26 cents in a pin.
A biro.
So, the dance that night, I barely went in because I was so exhausted. But the band was called Legs Nose Robinson. Legs Nose Robinson. Don't you recall in the Nixon episode?
Oh right, yeah.
With when the doctor's referring to Amy, Rory, and River.
Yeah.
Legs, Nose, Robinson. So, and they were pretty
good.
I've
only seen that episode once, so I suppose it's something for me to look forward to, and when the fact that I obviously don't remember that much of it.
I went to bed early. I was just so exhausted. Got up the next day and did a whole lot of it again, and had our professional picture taken in the TARDIS. I ended up with a picture in the local newspaper, too. I don't know how that happened. And then we went in and had this strange recording of a podcast.
How dare you?
Well, the funny thing with that is that we ended up in the room we were in was originally the video room. And turned out we didn't have a way of hooking up any sound in the room that we were supposed to be in. It could have ended up being like last Con K, where no one could hear us.
Oh, yeah.
So I got permission to stop the video program and use the video projector that was in there to so people could hear us. And we ended up with about 25 people in there.
Yeah, but they weren't there really to listen to us. They had to see there probably to see.
No, they were really there to listen to us.
But the fact that Ellis was in the room probably had some impact on
us. Yes,
it.
Very much so.
Yes. But I'm glad they were there, so that's great.
Maybe they're waiting to hear what we're like.
Actually, I reckon they were there to listen to Debbie. That's why some of them walked out. I've seen some video of them walking out in the middle. Ellis was there talking. One woman walks out, and I think it's just because they expected to be able to hear Debbie, and they thought, well, a letdown, and walked out of the room.
Oh, yeah, that's right. In that video I posted, one woman walks out. Yeah. But, yeah, when I took over the room, there were about four people in there. They were there to see a 50-year retrospective that I found on YouTube. It was actually on Vimeo of Doctor Who.
Yeah.
And they were disappointed and they walked out. And then other people came in. And within about 10 minutes, it was full room.
Brilliant.
It was great. It was the most fun recordings. I mean, we've gone from my sitting out in a hallway
two and a half years
ago with having Caitlin Blackwood just come by and say, what, six words to us?
Yes. Well, so we had a bit more with Sylvester McCoy last year.
20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast was the podcast of the Con GT.
No, it was the Podcat.
Podcat, yes, I saw
yes.
that. Very proud to be the Podcat.
Yes, we're the official Podcat.
That's
we're
good,
the official
then.
Podcat there.
Excellent. Won't be the official podcast of Conquistadors, because are they on the other
podcast? Yes, we are.
Yeah, so it's good to be the official podcast of two
excellent
cons, isn't it? Excellent. Anything else,
excellent.
Kirby?
Excellent. Nope.
No, okay. Well,
excellent.
Thank you for
that. So who am I, Smithers?
Next week, it's Mary's excellent. Version of the same events. Let's see what happens.
I hope she's okay.
Yes. Missing
Let me see if I've had any updates.
Well, while you do that, I'm going to
no
do
updates.
Something we haven't done for a long time and haven't had as many subjects to this particular part of the show. That's the welcoming new members to the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast Facebook group, which you
ooh,
can
we should
join.
Have a number.
Yes. And those are Michelle Brooks Cox, Lisa Marie, and she's from Clarksville, Tennessee, Matthew Rooley, Curtis Davis, who's also from Clarksville, Tennessee, and he was there as well. Probably Lisa Marie was there as well, actually. Mark Page, Tanya Levitt, and Sheila Wall. Is that correct? Is that how you say it? Sheila? Or Shiloh? Or?
Looks like it.
Hmm. I'm trying to bring up the list. That's what she said.
Welcome one and all to the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast.
What's the name?
Group, eh? Who?
Shiloh.
Shiloh.
Well, how do I pronounce it?
Sheila.
Did I?
Sheila.
Oh dear, sorry, Shiloh. Yes, welcome one and all. And, of course, if you want to send the stuff in that you haven't done that Kirby was begging for, it's 20mb.feedback@gmail.com or just message the group and Debbie will find it on the Facebook group. It's just easier
that's
if you send
job.
It by email because I won't notice we've got it. Debbie will find it, but if she's not on the show this week, it won't be heard. But yes, unless
yes, it would, because I notice when people post that stuff too.
You never tell
you're
me
the only
about
person.
It.
You're the only person who never reads the Facebook group.
I occasionally read it. It's just I'm very busy, like editing a podcast.
I'm very busy too, but I read the Facebook group 5, 6, 7 times a day.
Yeah, whatever.
Five, right. 6, 7, 8.
Yes. So thank you, everybody. Let's have some more members, especially people who were in that room. Mostly more listeners in one room that we've ever had actually listening to the show online, which is quite ironic, really.
More than five?
Yes. How many of them actually heard of the podcast before the event, though, Kirby?
None.
Exactly.
I thought we had more listeners than 25.
Yes, I'm being ironic. Anyway, right, so news. Saturn Award nominations 2015. The 41st annual Saturn Award nominations have been announced quite a long time ago now, but we haven't done news for a couple of weeks. And sees Doctor Who up. Pardon me, I just had a sip of drink. Doctor Who up for two awards this year. The show itself is listed in the Best Youth Orientated Television Series category.
Mm-hmm.
And that's with the lead actor who's in his 50s. It's quite ironic, really, isn't it? And Other nominations include The 100, Pretty Little Liars, Supernatural, Teen Wolf, and The Vampire Diaries. And Jenna Coleman has been nominated in the Best Supporting Actress in a TV Series category. Blah, 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 blah.
And it was all about her, the last series.
Yes, let's hope the next series won't be, but I'm glad she's in it. The new edition of Doctor Who magazine, which you can get from whowon.co.uk.
Is that whowon.co.uk?
Has Peter Capaldi on the front cover. I wonder why they'd have him on the front cover.
I don't know. It's like having an interview with Stephen Moffat and Bonnie Langford.
Did you watch Comic Relief, Debbie? Because his Comic Relief was the most harrowing film of the whole of Comic Relief.
Yes, I saw that, yes. Yeah.
And it is... I had this idea that Alicia, we just didn't have time to do, but we were going to do a Comic Relief version of this show, in which me and Alicia were going to record and talk about the Fatal Death story, which I never get the title right. She was up for it.
Curse of Fatal Death,
thank you. We were going to watch and review that, but we just didn't have enough time when it came to it. I didn't put enough... The idea came to me too late. But we've got 2 years to the next Comic Relief, so hopefully by then she'll be less of a teenager.
They did this every year.
Every other year. We do Sport Relief and one every other year, and then Comic Relief every other year. So next year it'll be Sport Relief.
Oh.
Similar sort of stuff, though, isn't it, really, to be fair?
Yeah, pretty much, yeah. With a sporty bent.
But yes, and of course, I was thinking, how am I going to fill this in with a Comic Relief element? Then me and Alicia would have done our bit, and I would have probably... put in Peter Capaldi's sort of video version of what he did in was it Africa?
Yeah.
And probably less harrowing because you don't actually get to see what's happened, and also they obviously put the words up on the screen so you know to tell you what's happened.
Bless him, he looked utterly shell shocked.
Well, wouldn't you, seeing children die like that? It's awful.
Mm.
But yeah, so that's so he's on the front cover of the new Doctor Who magazine. Hugh Walters has died. We have actually reported on that.
Master. That Doctor Who magazine, I am definitely going to purchase it when we finally get it here, probably in about a month.
Get it from whowon.co.uk, then get it much quicker.
I mean, I wish I could, but I have to do it with the available cash when I can.
Okay.
Anyway, it's got an article which sounds fascinating.
Yes.
Doctor Who's very first director, Waris Hussein, continues his guide to the making of the classic 1964 adventure, Marco Polo.
Marco Polo,
with the help of unique documents unseen for more than 50 years. So we'd find out more about those documents that we had been talking about a few weeks ago.
Oh, fantastic.
The Horror Channel in the UK is to broadcast on Freeview, allowing the majority
of
UK...
You skipped over Hugh Walters. You started to talk about him. I interrupted you.
Because we'd already talked about it the last time we did news. The Horror Channel in the UK is to be broadcast in Freeview, allowing the majority of UK viewers to watch classic Doctor Who without a subscription.
It's been really good. Mm. They're showing them randomly as well.
Ooh, I haven't had a chance to.
That's
busy,
not right.
I mean, it's not right.
It's quite nice. It's quite nice. You sort of turn over to the Horror Channel and there's a Doctor Who on. You're like, cool. You know, just dip into it. It's really good.
Yeah, I don't get time to do that, unfortunately.
I just go over to my DVDs and I pick a random one.
Yeah, well, I can do
that. I've been doing that a lot more lately. Adam's fed a few my way, so I'm just sat there over an evening watching DVDs.
They're releasing some more 3.75-inch scale figures, just to annoy me, because I know I want a 5-inch... careful of how I finish that sentence. A 5-inch figure of the Doctor, as in the 12th Doctor, / 13th. For Ben's benefit, but they're still not releasing one that we can buy because the one they did release sold out so blimmin' quickly. Well, then release another one, for God's sake. Mark Gatiss is going to be writing for Series 9. There's a surprise, isn't it, everybody? No, okay, well, I thought it was
well, good.
Yes, of course it's good, but
part,
it's not really surprising.
For the most part, I've enjoyed his stories.
Yes, but it's not surprising. That's the point I'm trying to make. Of course he's writing for it. Top 10 episodes in 10 years, Radio Times. What's that all about? Oh, best episodes of Doctor Who. Apparently, there's been some sort of poll. The top 10 episodes are in 10th place, End of Time. Can I finish?
Yes, I was going to say, do them in the reverse order.
That's what I'm doing. Debbie, have a go at him while I'm reading this.
Nine.
Silence in the Library, Forest of the Dead. 8. Bad Wolf, Parting of the Ways. 7. Girl in the Fireplace. 6. Army of Ghosts, Doomsday. 5. Empty Child, Doctor Dances. 4. The Day of the Doctor. 3. Stolen Earth, Journey's End. 2. Vincent and the Doctor. and one blink. What a surprise.
Yes.
What a surprise. But interesting to note that most of those stories are from the Russell T. Davis era, yes. So that will make Ben extremely satisfied, I think.
Yeah, one thing I've noticed lately when I turn on Netflix and decide to pick a modern Doctor story, you know, something new who, I end up back on Day of the Doctor more often than not.
Yes.
I watched that so many times.
It is brilliant. And I'm really looking forward to when my technology in the house expands to a 3D TV so I can actually finally get around to watching it in 3D. Because I have the 3D Blu-ray. I'd have to buy a 3D Blu-ray player to play it on, obviously, but I'm talking about when we move forward with the technology in the house. But I really am looking forward to seeing that. Actually, if anybody nearby, have you got a 3D Blu-ray, Debbie? No, you haven't, have you? No, I don't think you did. But I'd like to see that in 3D. Apparently, there's a Space Helmet for a Cow exclusive extract. This month sees the release of Space Helmet for a Cow, a mad true story of Doctor Who, 1963-69. And Doctor Who News, in association with Mad Norwegian Press, is pleased to offer our readers an exclusive preview of the first section of the book. So you can download a big bit of the book. But that, I love that. What do you think this is? A Space Helmet for a Cow? That's from the Time Meddler. Brilliant line. One of the best lines that the first Doctor ever had. The Essential Doctor Who, The Master... latest issue of Panini's Essential Doctor is devoted to the Doctor's most dangerous opponent, Missy. I mean, the Master.
The Master.
I'm afraid that I'm going to continue to call the character the Master, she is Missy.
I do hope that she turned around to calling her the Master when she comes back.
So.
She is coming back.
I hope so. Over the Missy aspect of it.
And Doctor Who wins Cardiff Life Awards. Apparently, I'm not going to go any further into that one, but that's essentially news, unless you know of any
Master,
others that I haven't covered.
Master,
yes.
Master, speaking of Master, you have to recall what we're coming up to in this next week.
Do I?
26th March 2005.
No, that's not my birthday. My birthday is the 12th of May, which is essentially birthday of this podcast.
Ten years ago this week, Rose...
Oh, was it?
Mm-hmm.
Did it?
Yes.
What, Rose? Oh, I see. Sorry. I was going to say that's what she said. I didn't quite get
Rose,
it in time.
Rose
that's what she
broadcast
said.
Ten years ago.
Thank you, Kirby.
That's hard to believe.
Well, I know. I'll tell you what else is hard to believe, that in 2 months' time, or actually a month and a half time, which is going to be my 49th birthday, is also the 5th birthday of this podcast.
Yay! That means I've been on here for a year now.
Have you? Well, Kirby's been on here for 4 years, isn't it, Kirby? Oh, that's not, must be around 4 years.
Four and a half.
Is it really? That long? Bloody, I've had to put up with you for that long.
I was going to say, I had to put up with you.
I wonder where my extra grey hairs and my beard have started to appear.
It's just because you decided to send me a packet of jelly babies.
Is it? Well, I rescind them. Send them back. Right. latest products coming soon. We've got loads of things like Eighth Doctor Dark Eyes 4.
Where is this? From whoan.co.uk?
Yes, it is from whoan.co.uk. Dalek Mr. Potato Head.
Oh, I do like
fancy
that.
Having one of them, you know. Deadly Assassin by Terrence Sticks. That's the audio.
Master?
Yes.
There's a banner ad at the top of the whoan.co.uk page with
still
this
wrong.
It says hotmail.co.uk.
Look, I did what you asked. I sent him the new graphic. Debbie said Debbie, and battered him into actually putting the correct graphic on the page. What happened? Nothing. Like I said, it wouldn't.
I think he got a bit distracted about the fact Isla was running around the store getting very excited at everything.
Isla, the great podcast graphic changing person saboteur.
Yes.
Well, someone needs to step out their door, walk 10
the
feet.
5 minutes that it takes to get the car.
Anyway, no,
I'll be back in ride again in a couple of weeks. I'll go and
batter
have
him. Yeah. Yes.
Do you need to get a ticket to ride?
Exactly.
Oh, I can't get the
where's
icon.
Where's the rim shot?
Yeah, where's the rim shot?
The mouse refuses to go over it because it was too bad. And finally,
Mouse is passing judgment, is it?
Doctor Who books, the Time Trips book, hardback by Cecilia, et al. Ahern. Price £20. It's Time Trips is a unique connection of Doctor Adventures from some of the most respected writers in the universe. Short stories are bigger on the inside. So if you like short Doctor Who stories, I wrote one of them once. Didn't get me anywhere. But it was for a newspaper and a competition. And I hoped I'd win it by being the only person who actually wrote into the competition. But obviously I wasn't because I didn't win it. Anyway, that sounds like something worth getting. Yes?
Master, something else from the convention just occurred to me.
Mary, was that it?
As I think I told you privately, I was going to use your Doctor Who quiz book as the source for the trivia questions.
Yes.
What? It was a complete failure because most people thought them way too hard.
How dare you? You're obviously not proper Doctor Who fans.
And most people were much more on top of New Who, so I had to basically drop most of the classic ones. But, I mean, I had three people look over the questions beforehand.
Mm-hmm.
Well, two and a half. Julia and I put the questions together out of using your book as the primary source, and then I ran the questions by both Mary and Matthew, and we had marked questions easy, medium, and hard.
Yes.
And I started out with the easy questions, and they lined 10 people up across the stage, and we lost more than half of them within two questions.
Obviously, they've only just come to the series. Matthew was fine with them, and that's the sort of standard person that I was writing for.
Uh-huh. Yes, yeah, and me and Julia.
When I say standard of person, that sounds a bit harsh. Well, I mean a standard of knowledge.
Experience in
not
Doctor
standard
Who,
of person. Of course, the standard of person would be me. So that's obviously the benchmark for all Doctor Who fans.
I'm considering posting my notes that I used as my source documents, probably on the podcast. And I did drop a couple of questions because I couldn't find... I questioned the answers.
Oh, yeah.
Sorry, well,
that's,
Master.
That's nonsense, because I sent this book to Toby Haydock, who is the oracle of all Doctor Who knowledge.
Oh,
okay. And if they're all right for Toby, they're right.
Okay. Then I should have used those. But, I mean, then I would have probably lost people even faster.
You did actually offer me a couple of corrections, but not very many.
Excuse me?
Toby did offer me a couple of corrections, but not very many.
Oh, okay. Well, I will scan my notes that have been extensively marked up and shows what we considered easy, medium, and hard.
It would have taken some pre-planning simply because the answers are at the back of the book. And it's a digital book. E-book.
Yes. Yeah,
so it would have been awkward to go backwards and forwards to the answers and the questions. So
correct.
I would have got around that problem by using an iPad or two iPads even.
No, Master.
Yes.
Master.
Yes.
Julia and I solved that problem when we compiled the questions. We didn't use all the questions, obviously. We narrowed it down to 35 questions. And she sat over here on one side of this room. I sat here in front of this computer. And she had the questions and I up on her tablet. I had the answers on my computer because I bought it through Google. So we were able to look at the same document at the same time.
Yes.
And we came up with the questions that way, but that's how we were able to do it quickly. And then I typed them up in Google Drive.
So, listeners, he's not saying that the Ultimate Doctor Who quiz book written by me is rubbish. He's just saying that you have to be quite knowledgeable about Doctor Who. Thanks for the plug, Kirby.
Oh, and I did mention at the end where they came from.
Did you?
So...
What do you mean you mentioned where they came from? You mean the Isle of Wight?
No, the book was available.
Okay,
well, and who wrote it?
You've got a good plug.
No, that's even more of a plug, because I want to... If you think it's the question's too hard, I want to challenge the ultimate oracle of Doctor Who knowledge that in this area of the Isle of Wight, and that's Mrs. Debbie Melrose. Right, here we go, Debbie.
We did have people in the front row who seemed like they knew the answers and we were going, well, why aren't you up here
right.
on the stage?
I've just selected a random 10 questions.
Don't do this to me this late at night. I've been up for hours.
Doesn't matter. Yes.
We have this couple of teenagers in the front row who were answering questions quite rapidly.
Uh-huh.
And we asked why weren't they up on the stage. It turned out that they were Googling them.
Ah. Cheats. But after, people are out of your sort of realm of Doctor Who quiz answering then. Right, Debbie.
Yeah.
Right. Here we go. Who directed the 10th Doctor story, Girl in the Fireplace? How many directors is going to get right then, Kirby?
Probably none.
I would not have used a question like that.
I'm just trying. I'm just seeing how we get on.
Okay.
She's Googling it. She's Googling
I'm not Googling.
Not you. You're not answering the questions.
I'm not Googling because you'd be able to hear me go.
Yes.
All right, time's up.
Stephen Moffat.
No, it wasn't. Directing it.
Yeah.
No, it was Urs Lynn.
Sorry. Oh.
Yes, right.
This is a bit late night to be doing this to
Don't
me.
Don't give me excuses. Question two. Originally thought to be a lost...
Who is this for?
Just
me?
All these are all for Debbie.
No,
for Debbie.
They're not.
Yes, they are. Originally thought to be a lost story, what year was the second Doctor story, Tomb of the Cybermen, returned to the BBC by a Hong Kong television station?
God, I actually do know this one.
Do you? Well, answer it then.
No, I don't.
I can guess. I'm not Googling any of these, but I believe it's 1999. No.
I was going to say 2000 or 2001 or something
If you had said that, Debbie, it would have been wrong.
Yeah.
When was it?
1991.
Oh, that long ago? Really?
Mm.
Yeah, I thought it was in the noughties rather than... Oh, well.
Right, Debbie. What was the name of the ship that the TARDIS lands on at the beginning of the third Doctor story, Carlingium, Carnival of Monsters?
Dad? They're asking me questions I can't answer.
Oh, this is, I'm enjoying this. go on then, Kirby. Do you know what it is?
I don't know. I do know that Harry Sullivan was there, sort of.
SS Bernice was the answer. Right, Debbie, you're going to get one of these right, aren't you?
No, I'm not.
The listeners are enjoying this.
I bet they are.
I've lost where I was now. Oh, number 86. Right, what was... Oh, I've done that one. Next one is, where was River Song born?
That's one of the questions I used,
was
by
it?
The way.
Oh, good.
Yes.
Debbie's thinking.
Debbie's I can't good. Remember what it's called.
Can't you?
No.
Oh,
it was part of the name of the episode.
Go on then, Kirby, let her out of her misery. You said you know what the answer was. You used it. Right. It was Demon's
I don't
Run.
Have the list in front of
Demon's
me.
Run, for goodness sake. Right.
Yeah,
Debbie.
It is right.
Yeah, Debbie, what was the name of the man Kathy Nightingale married in the 10th Doctor story?
I used that one too.
Did you?
People didn't know it.
No. What do you reckon then, Debbie?
Oh, I can see him running after her.
Yes, what was his name? I'll give you a point if you just get one of his names, his first name, because he has got both names, but...
Oh, no. I'm going to say Bobby, but I'm completely wrong.
You got the letter right. It was Ben. Right. Yeah. What was the...
This humiliation is
What is the name of Nyssa's double in the 5th Doctor story, Black Orchid?
Pardon?
What is the name of Nyssa's double in the 5th Doctor story, Black Orchid?
By the way, the last name of the man was Wainwright. I've got the questions in front of me now.
Yes. So you're going to cheat now, aren't you?
Well, it's the question.
You don't know, do you, Debbie?
No.
Right, who played the siren in the 11th Doctor story, Curse of the Black Spot?
Curse of the Bad Plot, if you please.
Yeah, Curse of the Bad Plot, oh, God.
Who played the siren?
I don't remember.
Something Cole.
Whoa! There we go. Lily Cole was the answer to that one. Right? Yeah. So you do know a bit about Doctor Who then. Right, the next one is... I'm nearly there. In the third Doctor story, Mind of Evil, what does the Master see when he is attacked by the Keller machine? You may not have seen this story.
Yes.
You have?
Yeah.
Oh, Pardon?
Crap. No, I can't remember, but I can see it.
Yes, it was a vision of a giant doctor laughing maniacally.
That's it, yeah.
Maniacally.
Yeah, maniacally.
Maniacally. Anyway. So I did say it right, Kobe, before
it's
you
my
interrupted
humiliation
me.
Complete.
Nearly. The actor who provided the voice of Boss in the third Doctor story, The Green Death, went on to play which character a year later in Planet of the Spiders?
I don't know any of these.
Should do. Iconic character.
In Planet of the Spiders?
Yes. He's gone down to the cellar. He's gone down to the cellar. I'm giving her clues now. What's the matter with me?
pass, friend.
Lupton has gone down to the cellar. Yeah, good grief. Right, two more questions left.
Plus, I've got one that...
You know, Mary wouldn't
Julia added one question that she wanted to make sure we used.
Did she?
So when we're done,
The second to last question from my book. That's the Ultimate Doctor Who quiz, but you are the Oracle.
In
the fourth Doctor story, The Face of Evil, how was the name of the tribe Sever-Team derived?
That's easy.
What was the start of the question?
Did you miss it?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, right. In the fourth Doctor story, Face of Evil, how was the name of the tribe Sever-Team derived?
That's easy.
No.
You've got the answer in front of you, Kirby. It would be easy for you.
No, I don't have the book up, and that's not one of the ones I used.
Right,
because I avoided classic. But
well,
I,
then, what was
I
it
just,
then,
that's
Kirby?
Just something I've known for ages.
What was it then?
Survey Team.
Yes, that's correct. Right, last question from me then, Debbie.
Mm.
Who wrote the fifth Doctor story, Frontius?
No idea.
No well, idea.
Didn't even give it a try. Christopher H. Bidmead. That's
How did
me.
I know that off?
Go on then, Kirby. What were you going to say?
Julia came up with this one. What is the name of the hostess on the big space bus in the 10th Doctor story, Midnight?
Oh, the hostess? What do you mean that? The
one that nobody caught the name of.
Yeah, the Afro-Caribbean lady who goes out through the door. That one?
Yes.
No, don't know.
Because she does say it, doesn't she?
Is that from my book, or just one that...
No.
Oh, okay.
This is Julia came up with this one.
Okay. No, I don't know. Do you know, Debbie?
Just hostess, wasn't it?
Right. She doesn't have a name in the story. Trick question.
I got it.
Pointless. Do you want me to start doing trick questions for the quiz?
Julia put down as the answer here, trick question, maniacal laugh.
Well, I feel a little better.
But you got half a question right, Debbie, so it's not disastrous. Yes,
it was
the questions in my book are hard. But if you think you know everything about Doctor Who, try them.
Which I don't.
Well, one thing we're considering next time, because in many cases, when we did the quiz, people would go...
Stop dying.
Okay, I'm going to wait until he stops dying.
I'm going to have to go very soon, guys.
Because I can't speak anymore. Yeah, go on, quickly, before we finish.
One thing that would have helped is instead of eliminating people when they lost, when they missed questions, because a lot of people went, oh, of course, when the answers were revealed, is possibly doing a point system. Where
yes, that's an interesting idea. Why don't we do that?
Yeah. Yes. So we will probably do a point system next time around.
What a good idea. Anyway, so next week, actually we haven't decided next week, have we? It's probably going to be 2 weeks, isn't it? Because it's a 6 or 7 part story, is it? Or 6 part
Except
story.
We've done it before, though.
I suppose we could do it, gloss over it. Now.
What was it?
It's a Dalek Invasion of Earth.
We glossed over this today's.
Yes, we did. Dalek Invasion of Earth, Debbie. Next.
Cool.
Apparently, next Sunday, British Summertime.
I haven't
summertime,
seen it.
British Summertime begins. So the clocks go forward by 1 hour by the time.
Master?
Yes.
If Debbie hasn't seen it, we probably should do 2 weeks.
Yeah.
She's got to have enough time to.
There's also something else to consider.
Yes.
I would have been up or quite late the previous night, and then we lose an hour sleep. So I would be very, very tired, having only had about 5 hours sleep because I've got
a
late job.
I'm at a wedding the day before as well.
I've got a very late job doing I'm a DJ until 12. Then the clocks go forward, and I've got to be up for work.
Where are you doing that?
At a place somewhere, that I haven't.
Well, I'm at a place somewhere and there's a DJ
it's
coming.
It's not a wedding,
on.
Though. It's, oh. A, it's a 60th birthday party.
Right, chaps, I'm going to have to go. Love you.
So when are we going to record?
Well, Sunday the 5th of April. I'm on
Sounds
holiday.
That's fine by me.
I'm not working. I'm on holiday. Well, hey. I'm on Drew. Is that Easter Sunday?
That's Easter Sunday.
Oh, you can't do that one. Sorry.
Well,
Shall we just go back a bit and move it to say... What days do you work on, Debbie? Do you work on Tuesdays?
Not often, no.
Shall we try Tuesday the 31st of March then? That gives you nine days.
Off.
9 days to watch Dalek Invasion of Earth.
Yep, I'm definitely off. I can do that.
You write that for that one, Kirby?
Of course, an early morning?
Yep.
Absolutely fine.
Yeah. It's in my diary, Dalek.
We'd better ask Mary, but as far as we're concerned, that's that.
And make sure Alicia doesn't book a driving lesson for that day.
Okay, go.
Bye, thank you. And bye-bye, Kirby. Thank you very much.
Goodbye, Fancy Pants.
Bye.
Megabyte Doctor Who podcast is an APB Services production and of a proud member of the Doctor Who Podcast Alliance. Doctor Who is a trademark of the BBC. No copyright infringement intended.